हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So now Vidura's come back and Dhritarashtra's happy and all that. And so, you know, then they're sitting and comfortably talking together and like that. But on the other side of the scene at Hastinapur, Duryodhana, however, was not pleased to see Vidura return. Because he knew if he left, now they would have one less obstacle to tell them what they're doing is wrong. He summoned Shakuni, Karna, and Dushasana and said, "The intelligent Vidura has returned," because he knows he's clever, because he can block all their plans. Whatever they do, he can block them. He's more clever than all three of them put together. He is always inclined towards the Pandavas, right? All he's saying is that they're behaving badly towards the Pandavas, don't behave badly towards them. You think, oh, you're supporting the Pandavas. No, we're just saying, don't behave badly. Right? Before he managed to convince the king to bring the Pandavas back, let us consider what should be done. If I ever again see the Pandavas flourish, I shall not be able to maintain my life. So you can see it's just pure envy. It's not like, you know, they're powerful, he wants to be powerful. He just can't tolerate that they're powerful. Because they're just so much better in everything than him. And he can't compare at all. So if you get rid of them, he looks very good. It's just like, if there's no light, if there's no sun or moon, then the firefly looks very bright. Shakuni laughed. "What folly you are speaking. The Pandavas have already left for the forest. They will be gone for the next 13 years. They agreed to accept the wager and they will never deviate from truth," right? Because he knows that they're religious. That's the point, is people who are not religious take advantage of religious people and get them to act according to religion, though they take advantage and act not according to religion. "Even if your father does ask them to return, they will not agree to do so until their exile has expired. Anyway, we do not need to be afraid. We need only to pretend that we agree with your father and wait and await an opportunity to overcome them again." Right? So even if there is something, they won't come, but then again, they'll find some other way to overcome them. So that's Shakuni's point, is, yeah, don't get worried, we'll figure something out. Right? So he's just encouraging that mundane, that demoniac mentality, is that instead of turning to what the Shastras say, what the seniors say, what is spiritually appropriate, then they may just make new material plans. One material plan doesn't work, they try another. Rather than looking at why aren't they working, is there some reason? Dushasana applauded Shakuni's words. "I like your advice, uncle." Duryodhana was still uneasy, and seeing this, Karna said, "O king, we are all your friends and well-wishers. We shall always support you against the Pandavas. You have nothing to fear. But I agree with Shakuni. The brothers will not break their vows. If somehow they do return, then we can find some means to again defeat them." His point is this, they won't return. But even if they did, we'll find another way to defeat them. Duryodhana turned away from his counselors. He stood and looked out the tall window at the beautiful palace gardens. His breath was short and heavy, as if he had just exerted himself. He covered his face with his hands and shook his head. How could he be happy as long as the Pandavas live? It's not even enough that he's taken away the kingdom and taken all their wealth, the seven of the four, that they're still alive. You know, he just wants that there's nothing to get in the way, but then it'll be someone else like that. You know. Karna said, "I know what you are thinking, my friend. I share your feelings. We must root out the Pandavas once and for all. The dice game has not settled the issue, because the Pandavas still live." Karna's handsome face contorted with anger as he thought of Arjuna, his old rival. He longed to face him in battle. 13 years was a long time to wait, though he has faced him in battle, and it hasn't gone well for him, for Karna. Striding back and forth, Karna went on passionately, "Here is my honest opinion, O king. Let us don our armor and take up weapons, mounting our chariots and going to in force to the forest. We will find the Pandavas and kill them. This is a good time, while they are destitute and weakened by sorrow. They have no power and no influence. We will easily defeat them. So this is niti, because this is not in any way according to Dharma. Because they're saying they're going in force. That means with their armies and everything. Well, they don't have an army. So to face them in that way, it wouldn't be, you know, according to the religious codes of the Kshatriyas, of the kings, that would be unjust. But, you know, at this point, they just want to win. Everyone is stirred by Karna's strong words. His was the right solution. Without hesitation, Duryodhana arranged for a large force to accompany him. Soon, with Karna's brothers by his side, he set out for the forest. On their way out of the city, however, they met Vyasadeva, right? Because he'll hear these things and that. He'll come and make some comment or something like that. Because he's, you know, taking care of the whole dynasty and everything like that. Even though Duryodhana is not. Vidura is, he is. And so then, you know, he'll come. The sage has seen Duryodhana's plan by a spiritual vision. He ordered Duryodhana to return to the palace. The prince felt chastened, but he dared not defy the rishi's orders, fearing the power of his curse. Right, because Vyasadeva, being there who he is, he could curse him and destroy him. But so they're worried about that. They know, they even though they try to do everything, they actually know who's who and like that and what the position is. Vyasadeva then went to see Dhritarashtra. When he had been properly received in worship, he said, "O greatly wise Dhritarashtra, listen as I tell you what is best for the Kurus. I am not at all pleased that the Pandavas have been sent to the forest through dishonest means. If you do not return the kingdom, then at the end of the 13 years, they will not have forgotten their enmity. Without doubt, they will kill the Kauravas." Right, so everyone's saying that they should get their kingdom back, but they're not saying that it should be now. Because even if they told Yudhishthira to come back now, he would say no. He took a vow to be in the forest for 13 years. And so after 13 years, then he'll come back. But when they come back, that's when they should get the kingdom. Vyasadeva sat upon an elevated seat in the Kuru assembly. He looked at the king, who sat surrounded by his ministers and counselors. They all listened respectfully as the sage continued. "Your foolish son now desires to slay the Pandavas. You should check him. If he tries to kill those heroes in the forest, he will lose his own life." Because that's the way it is. Bhima is so angry. You know, it's just one jump and he'll be inside his chariot and, you know, probably rip his head off. "O king, Duryodhana regards the Pandavas with such envy that unless you interfere in his schemes, he will cause the Kuru race to be destroyed." The king shifted uncomfortably as Vyasa spoke, right? Somehow or another, everybody says the same thing. At the end of the day, the whole situation was his fault. Obviously, it was not about to improve in any way. He bowed his head as the sage went on. "Listen carefully, O king. You should send Duryodhana to the forest to serve the Pandavas. He will then be out of harm's way while doing himself good." Right now, if he goes there and serves the Pandavas, because the vow has been taken, so they will. But if Duryodhana goes there and serves the Pandavas, then he'll get in that good association, he'll just gradually purify, and he'll start to become virtuous and see things in that way. Plus, by going and serving them in the forest, then that will also alleviate the offenses that he has made. "Perhaps the virtuous Pandavas will even come to like him, although I am doubtful. The nature of a man acquires at birth stays with him all his life. It seems impossible that Duryodhana could ever be able to humble himself before the Pandavas, or indeed before anyone else." The sage looked around the assembly. "What do Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura think? What is your view, O king? You should do the right thing immediately, otherwise your happiness will be destroyed." And because, yes, 13 years, but if you look at it, if you know 13 years and everything's destroyed, it doesn't quite have the same. Today is 13 years, but next year it's only 12 years. Then it's 10 years, and 8 years, and 4 years, and next year. And so as it comes close to that, and you've been enjoying so much, and the freedoms and all that, then the anxiety is so much greater than if you had never had them in the first place. So what they had before, they would be happy, as Dhritarashtra said. He told his son, you have plenty, you have everything required, you should be happy. Why want someone else's wealth? But because now they've gotten it, they'll want to keep it. And then, unfortunately, it will be their destruction. Dhritarashtra lifted a hand adorned with gleaming rings and placed it against his forehead. Sighing, he replied, "O illustrious one, I did not like this gambling business from the beginning. I think I was forced to give my consent by irresistible destiny." Right? It means it's by attachment. And so one says, you can say, yes, it's his destiny. And it's all the different things, but it doesn't mean it's right. When destiny brings about a situation, it's the results of your previous action. Let's say you've done something wrong in your last life. And so in this life, then that bad situation will come to you. And so when it's time for that bad situation, then you'll be the one that makes the decisions that causes it. And at the same time you say, oh, destiny made me do it. But why is destiny there? It's only giving you what you did in your previous life. So that's the whole, he's never able to take that proper responsibility. Neither Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, nor Queen Gandhari liked the dice game. I have no doubt that it happened under the Lord's deluding potency, Maya. I knew all this at the time, but due to paternal love, I was unable to abandon the envious Duryodhana. You know that, because when he sees that it's there and everything, it's not working out, then he's intelligent. He can understand, no, it's wrong. But it's not what he wants to hear. But if Vyasadeva wasn't here now and presenting this, he wouldn't be thinking like this. Like that. Vyasadeva spoke consolingly. "I understand how you feel. The son is always a man's dearmost object. But why do you not see the Pandavas as your sons? They are suffering distress. Why do you not feel compassion for them now? I am now addressing you as my own son. I feel the same love for my other two sons, Pandu and Vidura. You have 101 sons, and Pandu has only 5. When I think of the Pandu's sons, I wonder only how I may help them. O best of men, if you wish to keep all the Kurus alive, then order Duryodhana to make peace with the Pandavas." Dhritarashtra slowly shook his head. His brilliant crown catching the sun rays pouring through the windows. "O wise Rishi, it is exactly as you say. I know it well, as do all these kings. I have already heard the same advice from Bhishma, Vidura, and Drona. Somehow I cannot follow that advice. Please therefore be gracious to the Kurus and instruct my wicked son to take the righteous path." Right? They've instructed him to do it. They've also mentioned it in front of Duryodhana. He can't take it. His father can't instruct him. So he's asking, no, please, you instruct him. Vyasadeva, who could see past, present, future, said, "Soon the illustrious Rishi Maitreya will visit after having visited the Pandavas. He will admonish your son for the sake of the Kuru's welfare. Follow his advice without hesitation. Otherwise, he will curse your son." Vyasadeva then stood and left the assembly. Right? So in other words, he's not going to say, because if he doesn't follow it, and Vyasadeva curses them, then that's not going to be good. Because, you know, it's his own family, so he doesn't want to do that, because he knows that's how he'll behave. So, excuse me. He's turning to the point is Maitreya will come, and he's seen the Pandava, so he'll come, and then he'll discuss it. And he'll give his advice, which will be the exact same advice Vyasadeva will give. But when they don't follow it, and they insult him, he'll curse him, because that's the direction Duryodhana takes. He'll never leave something alone. If he can make it worse, he will. Right? Because there's just this idea of, okay, I've got so much, if I can get just that little bit more, just keep squeezing. It's like sugar cane, you know, you run it through once, then again, and again, and again. Then they twist it, and then you run it through again, and then they fold it over and run it through again, until it's like paper, dry paper. Then they're satisfied, just thrown on the road. But if there's any one drop, then they'll try to get it. So that's Duryodhana. As Vyasadeva predicted, Maitreya soon arrived. The itinerant ascetic, who wore matted locks and carried only a staff and a water pot, was received with all respects by Dhritarashtra and his sons. They worshipped him with offerings of argya and other rites. Dhritarashtra then offered him a jeweled seat in the assembly. When the sage was seated comfortably, the king asked, "O great one, was your journey from the forest pleasant? Are the heroes, the five Pandava brothers, living there happily? Will they spend the full 13 years there?" Because he wants to know, are they going to spend, or are they planning to come back earlier? "How will the brotherly affection between my sons and nephews be restored?" The dark-skinned Maitreya, glowing with a spiritual aura, was silent for some moments. He looked slowly around the assembly and said, "While on a pilgrimage, I came to the Kamyaka forest and met Yudhishthira and his brothers. They now wear deerskins and have matted hair with a tree, and have matted their hair with the tree sap." Because you get the banyan trees, because they're sap. You just, tap it a little bit. And then it gets this very, like a white, but very sticky sap. So then you take one little bunch of hair, you make a little bunch like that, or however you want to make them. And then you take some of that sap and rub it on the hair. Then you take the next one and rub that on that, like that, until you've done all the hair. And then in that way, the hair will just stay together and mat. That way you don't have to worry about combing it or anything, because then in the forest, they can't take care of the hair. Surrounded by rishis, they live austerely, constantly hearing Vedic recitations. I heard from them of the grave errors Duryodhana committed and of the terrible danger that you now face as a result. Therefore, I've come here to offer some advice. My affection for you is great, and I always wish you well. The sage asked how it was possible that the king was overlooking Duryodhana's evil acts. How could both Dhritarashtra and Bhishma have allowed him to create such enmity with the Pandavas? Right? So it's just, he doesn't like them, but there's no specific enmity. They just do what they do, and they're wary of him. But now he's acting in such a way to make them that they now have bad feelings towards Duryodhana. He's created. And then he says, "Oh, my enemies, now..." First he takes them, makes them into enemies, and then complains, "Now what about it? We got to get rid of them, because they're enemies." "You are the monarch, Dhritarashtra," the rishi said solemnly. "You are thus able to punish wrongdoers for having allowed wicked acts to be perpetrated in your own assembly hall. O king, you have been condemned by the sages. Do you not fear the consequences?" He does, but he's hoping that, well, it's destiny, and so it has nothing to do with me, so, what should we do to make ourselves happy and everything perfect? Maitreya turned towards Duryodhana, who scowled at his words, right, because he just can't tolerate these things, even though it's a great sage. As long as the sage comes and just does kind of sage stuff and gives blessings and all that, and some puja and this, and then goes, then they're happy. But if they tell them what to do and it's not what they like, then... The sage spoke softly, "Hear me well, O mighty armed hero. I utter words meant only for your good, as well as that of the Kurus, the Pandavas, and indeed the whole world." But he spoke softly, because if he speaks strongly, then they immediately feel, oh, he's speaking strongly. So if you speak very softly, then... "Do not quarrel with the Pandavas. They are all as powerful as thousands of mighty elephants. They are virtuous and possessed of great prowess. With his bare hands, Bhima has slain three colossal Rakshasas, enemies of the Celestials, who are capable of assuming any form of will." It means the Celestials couldn't kill these Rakshasas, and Bhima did with his bare hands. And when the Celestials come, they come with all their weapons. "He killed these three, Hidimba, Baka, and Kirmira, as easily as a tiger kills a small deer." Like, it wasn't like a tiger with an elephant. No, it was a tiger and small deer, not even a big deer. "Do you remember how that same Bhima killed in single combat the invincible Jarasandha?" Jarasandha was, he was taking over. If it wasn't for that, hearing that the Pandavas have gone, Jarasandha would just come and take over. "Who is foolish enough to create enmity with such heroes, having, as they do, Krishna, Drupad, and Drupad's sons as their allies? Take my advice, dear child, and make peace with them. Do not bring this danger upon yourself." Right? So, but because he's glorified them, but he's only pointing out, he's speaking their glories because, yes, they are glorious, but he's showing that those glories are what's going to give you trouble. And they say, "Oh, you prefer them, not us." Because no one says these nice things about Duryodhana. Duryodhana looked away and made no reply. He exposed his thigh and slapped it loudly. It means, his cloth, he just pulls it up. Because to show your thigh is considered uncultured and low class. Like he did that to Draupadi, and Bhima said, I'm going to break that thigh. And now he's done it with the sage. Sposa had slapped it loudly. went, then hung his head. Slapped his thigh, meaning, you know, I don't care about this. He kept his head down. He's not looking. He's not doing any, you know, proper interacting. Stretching his legs as if bored, you know, and then sticking his legs out, like to the side or something like that. He rubbed the ground with his foot. When he saw Duryodhana's impudence, Maitreya's eyes turned red with anger, because this would have happened with Vyasadeva also. So it's like, why should Vyasadeva get involved in this? He touched holy water, and then, holding the sacred thread hanging from his shoulder, said in a voice like thunder, "Insolent one, since you slight my words and pay no heed to my advice, you shall soon reap the result. In the great war which will spring from the wrongs you have perpetrated, Bhima will smash your thigh with his mace."
Just 20 minutes is finished.
Okay, so then. Okay. Okay, here, let's just finish this. Dhritarashtra immediately became alarmed. He sought to console and gratify Maitreya with gentle words, asking him to be merciful towards Duryodhana. "A great sage, he is young and, fickle. Do not take him seriously. Maitreya said if Duryodhana made peace with the Pandavas, the curse would be lifted. Otherwise, it would not be reversed." Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.